Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 395th episode of Just Shoot It, a podcast about filmmaking, screenwriting, and directing. This episode is brought to you by patrons Ryan Valdez, Max Goldberg, George Ketsios, and Sean Paul Cardaman, who just emailed us a joke about watching his reel because he thinks we don't like watching reels. What are you talking about? I love watching reels. Sometimes. I'm Oren Kaplan.
And I'm Matt Enlow. Today, it's a Matt and Oren catch-up episode. We are digging through why you should or shouldn't care about tools, cameras, mics, rigs, etc. Our attitudes about show running and also directing. We have some kind of big, broad, lofty thoughts on those. And then we'll hop into some unpaid endorsements. A nice, clean episode.
Yeah. And this is episode 395. And as many of our listeners know, my favorite number in the world is 396. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. Matt, we've talked about this. I only buy things that cost $3.96.
Your vanity plate is 333396.
Yeah, I came in 396th place in the LA Marathon a few years ago. And the reason I bring it up is because I wanted to do something incredibly special for our 396th episode, which is the next episode, and that's going to be our live episode. By the time you listen to this one, our live one will have been recorded last night. This episode is coming out the night after our live recording, so guess what? You missed it. My live podcasting fit. I got this shirt a while ago that I really like in St. Louis. It like looks casual, but it's kind of nice.
Oh, you're going to go nice?
Are you going costume?
Well, I have like a printed shirt with like coffins and skulls on it that I probably will pull out. You don't get to wear it too much. It's like, you know, a Halloween shirt.
I thought you were going to just wear a shirt that says Letterboxd or something on it.
Maybe I'll wear my movies hat.
Well, yeah. No, I don't know what I'm going to wear. I'll probably just wear my normal outfit that I wear to like go out to dinner with friends. Should I wear a Halloween thing? I have an elf costume.
You do love that elf costume.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm actually shooting something with elves, except now we're not allowed to call them elves because of a freaking elf on a shelf. And I'm like, those people don't own elves, but they're worried about it. So now we call our elf a little helper. But in my treatment, I have a bunch of pictures of me in that elf costume. I'm like, I knew this would have come in handy at some point, having so many photographs of myself in an elf costume.
You're like, here I am drunk at all of these different events. Speaking of, at Sawhorse events, which is where our live show is.
Yeah, the irony is I didn't even buy the elf costume. I mean, I'm Jewish. It's against my religion to buy elf costumes. But the Sawhorse guys bought it for me at their first Christmas party. They brought it for me. So I've been wearing it ever since. That polyester is a pretty good material. You should check it out.
Yeah, it's never going to biodegrade. Anyway.
Should we tell people about our Patreon just in case? Patreon.com/justshootitpod. If you would have signed up before today, you would have been able to get a guaranteed ticket for our live show that was last night. That was amazing, by the way. I can't believe you missed it. You should have been there.
Man, really incredible. Though, seriously, if you do want to stay in the loop on our live shows and get all sorts of other perks, patreon.com/justshootitpod is the place to go and sign up and support the show.
Anyway, patreon.com/justshootitpod, it is where we do things. By the way, there might be like an Arc Studio Pro ad coming right around now. I don't know when it's going to come in the episode, but someone emailed me today and said that they thought that ad was pretty funny.
You know, I listened to it the other day. I thought it's not bad.
Are you serious? I thought it was so bad. not from an Arc Studio Pro standpoint, but from a us trying to be funny standpoint.
You know, not to toot our own horns. I think you did a good job with the edit, and I think the performances are not bad.
No, come on.
I have notes. I would restructure things a tiny bit, but yeah, it's pretty good.
Anyhow, Matthew, do you mind if I call you Matthew?
You know, you sound like my mom, but you know, this show is a wreck. Oren, I've been dying to know. You pitch this topic of why you should or shouldn't care about tools, i.e. cameras, mics, rigs, etc. That's a thing that we often have to talk about, like when we're putting together a bid or even when you're a little further down the line of like, okay, what camera are we shooting on is always a common thing. What lenses, blah, 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 blah. Oren, do you think you should care about those details?
So, yes, I think you should care about them, but I don't think you should waste too much emotional energy on them, especially if you have a cinematographer and a producer, because I find myself recently in the last year arguing with producers about the camera because they keep telling me that we're budgeted for an Alexa Mini, which is a camera that has shot many, many Oscar winning films.
Yeah, it's great.
Incredible camera. Shoots 3.2K, shoots it. Excellent skin tone, all the stuff you want. But then, you know, the cinematographer always wants to shoot on an Alexa 35, like the latest version of this camera, which is, you know, $600 more a day or something like that. Or sometimes they'll have like a Venice, which I've been enjoying this, the Sony Venice cameras. Nice, shoot 6K, all this other stuff. Has this crazy mode, the Rialto mode that lets you do crazy handheld stuff very easily. You know, it's like you're exerting so much energy like trying to move things and rearrange things to get the Alexa 35 because it's got like a little better dynamic range. And I've just kind of realized that I'm not going to worry about that anymore. My last shoot, it was like the DP's like, yeah, I was thinking Alexa 35 and the Master Primes. And I was like, sure, that sounds great. And then they're like, bad news, Oren, we can only get the Cook S4s. I was like, that's, I don't care. That's great.
Yeah.
Great. Shot a whole feature on those. Yes. Looked just fine.
They look great.
And then I realized, like, if you spent all that time you're fighting about gear, just like making your shot list a little bit better, hanging out with the actors, like working on the art direction, nailing the wardrobe, it just, you get so much more mileage out of that. And I'm not talking about like, are we going to shoot on an iPhone versus an Alexa? I'm just saying, like, sure, once you get into the nitty gritty, like I find myself not wanting to care about the tools as much as I used to. You know, when you start out, of course, you're watching YouTube videos about, you know, is this GoPro sharper? Or is this, you know, other camera sharper? But now I feel like I just don't want to waste my time with that anymore. You have a strong viewpoint on this.
Yeah, to me, it's very clear. If there is a specific feature that we need, does it need to shoot super high res? Does it need to shoot super slow motion? Something like that. I'm struggling to think of another example. Does it need to be really small or lightweight because we're going to be mounting it to cars or this or that or whatever? That's all I care about.
Even at that point, you can say to the cinematographer, like, hey, let's get a camera we can mount on the car, right? Are you saying like, oh, we should get a Komodo or we should get an FX3 or we should get whatever? Or are you just...
I don't care. Like, I think, look, Komodo versus, you know, there's like things people care about a little bit more than otherwise. Like, you know, is it something where people don't like working with Sony's or people really love working with Alexa or something like that? Like, if there's quirks to the DP where they're like a diehard in one ecosystem or something like that, fine. But like, I guess what I'm really trying to say is that the image quality that you get out of most cameras is so incredible now that, to your point, you should just be caring about everything else, because you can shoot something really ugly with the best camera in the world and you can shoot something really beautiful with a very cheap camera. So don't sweat it, basically. Lenses, I think, similarly, do we need a really specific characteristic from them, or are we just kind of going for they look nice and sharp?
Right. And cinematographers, earmuffs, please, for this next section. because I know you think that it makes such a difference, and it does make such a difference, but we'd love for you to like decide, make that decision and figure out what's in budget and what's not in budget. Like, I mean, I do want to know the lenses, and obviously like if we're doing anamorphic or spherical, whatever, like there's some decisions that affect the style to a great amount, you know, but yeah, I don't know. This other question I feel like I'm running into over and over is, should we shoot on a gimbal or a Steadicam or like a Trinity or a dolly or a slider? Mm-hmm. And it's another thing where I'm like, I want the camera to start here and end here. You tell me whatever you want, you know?
Yeah, that does have greater impacts in your schedule, right? Because it depends on, you know, the scale to a certain extent. Like if you have an extra camera body that's already rigged on a gimbal and there's an operator standing by ready to go, the difference between that and a Steadicam, you know, probably not that big a deal unless you need a big boom or something like that, or you need to get super low or something, you know. Then to your point, like the camera move determines what tool you need. If it's something where you're going to have to take your only camera off of the dolly, level it on a different tool, blah blah blah, that eats into your schedule in a way that's significant, and it always drives me insane.
Yeah, me too. This shoot I had last week, I showed you some of the shots. We have this one shot. The opening shot is this wide shot of a party, and this woman walks in through the back door. She's probably like 40 feet away from the camera, and she says something to camera, and I want to end up in like a medium shot of her. So from a super wide, like a super wide lens, like an 18 or something, so I end up in a medium shot, and the entire shot needs to last 2 seconds. So it's like obviously a gimbal or a Steadicam shot, because you have to fly. I mean, or even a drone shot. Like you have to go so fast to go from the super wide to super close. But we had that exact same issue that you're talking about. It's like, well, we only have one camera. If we go on the gimbal, to go off the gimbal and back on the, like to the dolly and all those things. And in the end, I was like, let's just put on the dolly. We're shooting 4.6K. We'll just ride on the floor. The problem with the dolly is you see the track, but like super wide lens, flat floor. We'll just ride on the dolly. And if we need to stabilize it in post, if we need to do a little push in post, that's fine, but I don't want to waste an hour on this like slightly better shot. And the DP was like, okay. He talked to the grip and there, dolly grip. He's like, sure.
So you could see the track on the floor?
If we would have had track. We ran on the floor with no track.
Oh, cool, cool, great, okay. Because the reason I was like, wait, what? I'm sure you could work your way around it, push it in post or whatever, even paint it out a little. But when client sees dolly track in the shot, they're like, wait, this is a huge mistake, even if you have a perfect plan for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was like, wait, huh?
Things like that. But yeah, so this thing I'm working on now, we went the shot of this guy running. It's supposed to look like he filmed it himself, and he's wearing this kind of funny outfit. And we want to see the whole outfit, and it's a social media thing. Mm-hmm. One by one. So
he filmed it himself. He's holding the camera.
Yeah. And we want to see his whole outfit. So
yeah.
The obvious thing to do here is to shoot on an Insta360 or a GoPro Max, like those 360 cameras with those, like they call them the invisible selfie stick, right? Because the software stitches the video in a way where you don't see the selfie stick. And you can hold it like 3 feet away from you and it gets an entire shot of your body. And it's awesome. But the client insists it must be shot on an iPhone. The client does not want it shot on an Insta360. It's such a weird thing. And so today I just spent like an hour running around with my iPhone, seeing if I could get a good shot of myself running around.
Super high selfie. Did that work?
So like I tried super like high
almost point
selfie mode,
almost pointing to the ground. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's hard because you're running and there's also dialogue. But I was like, this looks okay. I was adamant, like it has to be the 360, and I was showing all these videos, all these amazing videos, and trying to send them to the agent, to the producer, to send to the agency, to send to the client. It's like, it's gotta be so much better. We can reframe, it'll stabilize, the way better stabilizer, all this stuff. And then I just shot
it. Is this just one shot or?
Yeah, it's like jump cut, like sequence of he's running in different places.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I shot it in selfie camera, and I was like, oh, you know what? It's not that bad. And then mm-hmm. I put it on the wide lens and just held the camera backwards, you know,
mm-hmm.
like using the front facing camera or whatever, the back camera. And I ran and it actually looked pretty good. And you could see my whole body. You could see my feet through my head.
What phone do you have?
The iPhone 13 Pro. Yeah.
Because I think 14s and newer have action mode. Have you seen action mode?
Oh, yeah. I haven't used... I've seen some, like, again, talk about spending too much time on the tools. When it came out, I think I watched a lot of videos comparing it mm-hmm. to the other modes, the other stabilization modes.
Action mode, it looks pretty incredible. However, I think it might actually counteract what you're trying to do. Like, if the point is...
To get some of that chaos.
Feel that the chaos and the person using the phone. Yeah.
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 But so in the end, you know, the rest of the team was like, Oren really wants to shoot 360, 360. Like, let's get it. Let's buy the 360 and show them and we'll shoot both ways. And we'll show them it's better. And I was like, I feel like I just did all this fighting for nothing because the iPhone just looks fine, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think though that's less a... argument about whether you should care about the tools or not and more about shooting test footage. That's just advocating for go and see.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But I also was like, sometimes, you know, we're just fighting so hard for this, a lens or a camera or a rig.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's worth it and it depends on the
if
video,
I don't get
you know.
The 12 mil, what are we even doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, hey, worry what's on the other side of the camera more exactly. and let, you know, other people worry about what's behind the camera or what the camera is. Anyhow, that's all I was thinking about. I'd love to hear everyone else's thoughts. I'm sure it's one place where I think DPs and directors probably either disagree or agree very much that the other person should worry about the other thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wonder.
Speaking of worrying about stuff, what are you thinking about? You're talking about show running and the balance of creativity versus management versus mentorship and how it's a thing you've been trying to balance recently.
I think of the old Mitch Hedberg joke about how when he was a stand-up comic, people would be like, oh, you're so great. You're so great. Do you have any scripts? Do you write? And he's like, oh, man, that's like asking a chef. Oh, man, you know, can you farm? how they're kind of slightly different disciplines. And I'm kind of going through this thing where as I'm show running, you know, I'm running a team and I get to do a lot of noting for sure. And less having my fingers on the keyboard, less of the doing, more of the, telling people how to do things. And, you know, we've done some things to kind of get me back in the mix in ways that I think are really helpful and gratifying and good for the show. But
right. Is it like if there's a good joke, you take credit for it? Is that how it works?
Mm-hmm. I say that. That's me. You know, actually, it's funny. I really have been. It's a thing where like sometimes people will be like, oh, who wrote that joke? And I kind of have started really adamantly being like, we all wrote it. We all wrote the joke because
unless I wrote it,
because like the truth is that we're all plussing each other and we're all riffing. And so like it, whose mouth did it come out of or who typed it? I can almost always tell, but like it's a group think and I'm fortunate that this room is really tight and really understands each other very well. But so the slices of the pie for me, it's a thin slice of actually doing the thing that got me the job in the first place. Being good at writing and directing and editing and all of the craft is how I got to this position. And now I'm doing much more, not just management, not just team management, but like studio notes and big picture stuff. And I'm in a lot of meetings now. And then also the other thing I've been thinking about is just because you know how to do something doesn't mean you know how to teach someone to do the thing that you do. And so that's what notes are in a certain sense, but and it's not like I'm ever giving the same note over and over again, but getting a team member to understand how you do the thing you do, or how your talent does the thing that they do, how to write in the voice of a.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Show, or to figure out what the rubric of what good means, you know, in the context of what you're making, and getting them sharper and closer to that, and with every step, is like a skill unto itself that is very different than being good at making funny videos. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, instead of sharing your note of what to do to make it better, it's like sharing your note of how to think about it, mm-hmm. so that you get to a better version of it.
But also while you're on the treadmill of like needing to release things all the time.
Right. But know. It's due in 5 minutes. Yeah. So why not just tell them what it should be?
Yeah. 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 And also you prefer to do that. Like, it's so fun to just be like, okay, hold on. Well, let me just give me 30 minutes. I'm going to put my headphones on. I'll just rewrite this, you mm-hmm. know? So yeah. It's so fun. And I've done that a little bit lately.
And that's when you
lately.
Call me and you're like, tell me in my headphones what to write.
Yeah. 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 Is it ChatG? Yeah.
Yeah.
GBT? GPT, of course.
Dude, we should buy chatgtp.com right now and just send people in the wrong direction on every question.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, like, you know, sometimes you just have to roll your sleeves up and do it, and that's fun. And so there's also the introspection of like, well, is this my job, or is it better to be guiding people to do this so that things scale, so that we can have more shows and do other things and broaden our horizons? Yeah, that's where my head is at. It's all very, it's heady, big picture stuff.
But were you saying, I feel like you were expressing to me before we started recording that you kind of, yeah, wish you were doing more. Like, I guess if you look at someone whose career you admire, mm-hmm. let's mm-hmm. say, I don't know if you are a big fan or not, but let's say like a Martin Scorsese, you know,
mm-hmm. sure.
Do you think he spends more time doing the management stuff or doing the fingers in the business stuff?
That's a great question. Well, look, there's the, you know, is Scorsese interviewing, you know, six writers to staff or something like that? Probably not.
Maybe like Jordan Peele is like a better example.
Yeah.
Because maybe Jordan Peele is producing something and giving notes on something and making his own stuff all at the same time.
I'll say this, taking a step back even further. I think that the people that you can name Mm-hmm. Not just a working director, but the people like the household name directors do have to have some of that in them. You know what I mean? The reason we know the name Steven Spielberg, not just because he makes great movies, but because like he produces a ton. You know, when you learned the name Steven Spielberg, it was probably because of Tiny Toons and not because of E.T.
Animaniacs? Is that what you're talking about?
He did both. Steven Spielberg presents Animaniacs and Tiny Toons.
What's Tiny Toons? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ!
I know Steven Spielberg from Indiana Jones.
Yeah. No, that's true. Of course you did. You have to do the big picture stuff, right? So like, and you have to like it, right? And it's not that I don't like it. I like it very much. But striking the balance of writing, shooting, and work in the room or doing the business side, producing essentially, is something I think I'm leaning more into producing and less into writing lately. Right. And yeah, certainly miss it.
When Steven Spielberg is directing Indiana Jones and he's trying to communicate to his crew the intensity, the tone, the color palette, whatever, and he doesn't have Google Slides and freaking ShotDeck.com and Google to find images and to show clips and an iPhone to shoot his own version of it, how is he telling his team what to do?
You're even one up you. Remember, this is like pre-VHS era. So that means that like you can't even be like, well, you know that scene in this movie? Because most likely they haven't seen the movie unless
they pull out the TV guide. They're like, oh, it's playing on Wednesday night at 2 a.m. That scene. Yeah.
Lawrence of Arabia is playing at the Repertory Theater. Everybody, we got to go together.
So how does Spielberg communicate to his crew what to do? This is like a backwards segue into my half of this topic.
Yeah. I mean, I think he had boards.
Like storyboards?
And meetings. Yeah.
Like he sat with a storyboard artist and
they had concept art too. They had concept art. But really what we're saying is like not only have the tools advanced, but the scale of project has embraced those tools at a smaller budget, right? So like it used to be that commercials all basically were mega budgets and that movies were all relatively large budgets. Or truly indie DIY, you know, you can make Night of the Living Dead or something like that, but you can't make Indiana Jones. So I think that like, you know, when you had a Hollywood movie, quote unquote, you had previs and that sort of stuff. Right. And so like, yeah, you're literally bringing in artisans to like paint and draw and like you're having conversations and pulling swatches and shooting Polaroids and things like that. Research. You know, pulling out books and going to the library and saying, this is what I want.
You got like your atlas. You're like, in the Sahara, they have a great boulder dash. Let's design a scene around that.
When I first started at the Directors Bureau as an intern, Roman Coppola, who had founded the company, gave me like a stack of books, like art books with like post-it notes in them. And he would be like, basically, I had to just scan all of the images in those books for him to just have in his archive. Just like, oh, I like this image. I like that image. I just want to have all of these handy for when it comes time to conjure them into something.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a book called 30 Photoshop Tips and Tricks. And when someone was like, can you design me a logo? I'd be like, sure. And just open it to a random page. And it's like how to make a water drop in Photoshop. I was like, water drop logo coming up. But yeah, I guess there was the time where, you know, you'd go to Barnes & Noble and just flip through some book and get some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess that's the same now. I mean, the way it kind of segues into my topic, my half of this same topic of kind of the balance, is I was in the car with a producer today and I was telling him that to me, directing is like 50% creative and 50% communication. And so you can be super creative and come up with great shots and be amazing with actors and understand emotionality and storytelling and all those various things. But if you are not good at communicating that to the crew, it doesn't really add up to anything. And in most jobs I've had over the last couple of years, I feel like I'm really good at communicating to the crew. you know, I do previs, I do storyboard, I do shoot my own things, I do find a bazillion references. And sometimes I feel like it's at the expense of the creative stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I'm spending so much time referencing other things and copying other things, I'm not investing enough time just thinking to myself of like, how would Oren shoot this, you know?
Yeah, sure.
There's a lot of like...
Yeah, you're limited by like the references that you can find. So you're like, well, this medium shot that I was thinking of, you know, I found a still that's pretty close. And so you show everyone the still that's really close, but not literally what you're thinking of in your head.
And then literally we'll be on set and the DP will be like, oh, this is the, right? Like, we're doing it like this thing, this reference you showed me. Mm-hmm. But I'm on a job right now where I feel like I can't do any of the communication because I don't understand the creative part very well. And it's making me feel like a bad director in a way. Because I have the production designer calling me, the wardrobe stylist calling me, the DP calling me, and they're all saying like, so what's the plan? And I'm like sending them mood boards with like a million things on them. And they're like, what am I supposed to do with this? And I was like, I don't know. This is what I got. What do you make of this? And they're like, well, do you want me to choose some images from this mood board and make them? And I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
So it's this weird thing where I realized that, you know, sometimes even when you don't know the creative, like you need to be a leader in some way. Mm-hmm. And it's hard when that half of the creative you're messing up on. And so I feel like I'm failing a little bit at directing.
It's going to be okay, Oren. It's going to be okay.
Thanks.
Another thing you're kind of hinting at that I have a hard time with is that in a scenario where you're paid to apply your artistry to someone else's product or end goal, right? When you're doing a commercial, for instance, or any sort of gig for hire, it's hard because I almost always know what I would prefer to do. Like if it was just my decision, I know what I would do, or rather I would make my mind up really quickly if I didn't. Because that's the job is like, think about it, make a decision, move on. But when creative is soft, like what you're describing, where it's like unclear or people are kind of hoping for the best, it gets really frustrating because we are the conduit from a creative agency to a crew.
Right. We're like the executors.
We're executing their plan. But also, it's our fault if that plan isn't executed, even if the plan is unclear.
Right. And I did do, my first attempt was to say, hey, this plan seems very open-ended. You're kind of showing me a lot of images and ideas. And so here's my plan. I'm taking yours. I'm putting it into a step-by-step plan.
Which is oftentimes the ask. Right. Like if creatives are meant to just be a little loosey goosey and woo woo, otherwise they just do our jobs for us. And sometimes they want to, you know?
Yeah. But then when I offered the plan, they were like, no, that's not really what we were thinking. And they kind of tried to redirect me in ways that made my plan way more vague again.
What's strange about this whole conversation and scenario is that this happens all the time, but the solution is, oh, they just don't hire us, right? We'll get the creative, we'll pitch our take, and then they'll be like, oh, well, Oren didn't get it. So-and-so did.
Right.
We're going with them. But it's unique that like you were awarded the job, which was competitive.
Right.
And also, there's this... out of sync sort of situation going. So
yeah,
let us know how it goes, man.
It's kind of, I think it's probably not that uncommon. Like we've heard stories where someone has been hired to direct a movie and then the entire script changes like a page one rewrite, but they're still the director. But now it's like actually maybe not the movie that they would direct and they have to basically figure out how. But don't get me wrong. Like I think I'm super excited about this project. I think it's going to be awesome. It's coming up really fast. I have to shoot it in literally 5 days. And I by the time you hear this podcast, I have to shoot it in 2 days. And at this moment, I don't know where we're shooting, how we're shooting, what we're shooting. And it's not simple. It's a massive, mm-hmm. like 10 person choreographed extravaganza mm-hmm. of weirdness that, is not quite honed in yet. Anyhow, ask me about it next time you see me and I'll let you know.
We'll follow up.
If I manage to focus the insanity.
And in the meantime, do you have a few more minutes to hang out and endorse with me?
Yeah, Matt, I'm shocked you're asking me. I've said yes every single time for the last like 395 episodes.
I feel like every once in a while we're like, we'll do it later.
And you know that 396 is my favorite number, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
395 is the second favorite. So of course I'm going to endorse with you.
Unpaid endorsements.
So this is actually like an idea I stole from Jordan Brady. And I hate to mention Jordan Brady on like 80% of our podcasts because I don't want to give him any of our business.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want someone to hear me say it and then accuse me of stealing it from him. So I'm just giving credit to him, even though I thought of it on my own. He had talked about how when he has Zoom calls, which today, nowadays, if you're a director, whether you're doing features or TV or anything, I guarantee you, you're having a lot of meetings on Zoom. And I guarantee you that some of those meetings affect whether people want to work with you or not,
mm-hmm.
whether you're trying to get an actor attached or be hired by someone or whatever it is. And something that that Jordan Brady mentioned and I'm trying to emulate was that when he brings out his like good microphone for the Zoom meeting, people are like, oh, I'm listening. You know, that mm-hmm. there is a different quality to talking into, like, you know, we use our mics for the podcast. I use mine for Zoom meetings and, you know, Google Meets or whatever, every day. And people do a lot of times comment like, oh, look at that microphone. It's got a, today some guy called it a spit guard. It's actually a pop filter, but
same though, kind of.
It's a sneeze guard.
Yeah.
For my microphone buffet. No, but I do think that as directors,
gives you a little authority.
Our voice is very important because mm-hmm. we're trying to communicate our ideas on these calls by talking and showing things. And so I have become in the last year a big believer in getting a really good microphone for your computer. It doesn't have to be expensive. Like, we have the Audio Technica 2020.
2020s.
Yeah. They have one that just has a USB version that you can just plug straight into your computer and use it on Zoom calls. You got to get a stand too. I just think it changes the dynamic. And when you start talking or you start pitching, it's that versus you on your AirPods, you know, that are kind of like tinny. Anyhow, Matt, I've been dying to know, why is your unpaid endorsement today so eh?
Well, I'll tell you why it's so eh. You know, it could be better. That's funny because I was going to say it's one that you would really like. So my endorsement is
I doubt it.
A Chrome plugin specifically for Google Meets that
my favorite type
is it's called Taktik, TACTIQ, and it is an AI note-taking app. So basically when you're in Google Meets, it will transcribe everything and then it will use ChatGPT to spit you out a summary with action items of the things that you had in your meeting. Earlier in the show, when you're talking to people and you, it's less a creative thing. It's not for script notes. It's not for like, oh, we needed to punch this joke harder and this was unclear for me. It's not none of that. It's like, okay, we've got a meeting where we need to cover these different things about the schedule. And I need to circle back with this person and we need to, you know, plan this 3 weeks out, all of that stuff. It's easy to get lost makes things much better for sure.
That's awesome. And it's free.
Mm-hmm.
Taktik, TACTIQ. Well, Matt, I'll let you go to sleep because you had a really weird time last night. Oren stole the show, I heard,
mm-hmm.
at the live show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't even get a word in edgewise.
Mm-hmm.
Is this thing on?
Yeah, sorry. It was odd that I was in charge of the mics and your mic was never on.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Coincidence? I think not. All right. Well, everyone, it was wonderful to see you at the show. Hopefully it goes great. And if you have any questions or concerns, you can email us at justshootitpod@gmail.com.
And please send your concerns. If you have concerns, send them to Matt@justshootitpod@gmail.com. If you have compliments or just want to mm-hmm. talk about cool stuff, just send it to me at justshootandpod@gmail.com.
Yep, there you go. And you can follow me across all social media at Mr. Matt Enloe, especially Letterboxd. More followers. I'm seeing it. People
how many
are talking
followers? How many followers do you have?
I don't know how many, but it is a small classic number. But I got somebody responded to a review I wrote just the other day, and it's really fun. So I'm happy to
Which
have.
Which movie did you review that you got responded to?
They're all kids' movies.
Come on. Are you serious?
Yeah. I have a list of every movie that Nora has
like
seen.
Like Coco Melon Goes to the Zoo?
Nah, man. We're watching real movies. We just watched the Muppet movie with her. It was great.
The Muppet movie?
Yeah. You know, it was a response on Turning Red. Have you seen that one?
Yes. Matt, I gotta go respond to your Letterboxd review.
I loved it, man. That movie is great.
No, it
that
is movie good. I like
is,
it.
Yeah, I really, really loved it. Anyway.
I'll watch any movie about a boy band. Anyhow, I'm at OKaplan across all social media. This episode was edited by Noah Bayshore. Our producer is Tyler Small. You're listening to music from the Free Music Archive and the artist Jazar, and we will catch you next time. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.